What up, and welcome to another episode of the Fortnite Podcast. Your host here, Monster D Face, bringing you guys another weekly installment of your Fortnite news. This week is a big week for us as we are jumping right into the new season, a whole bunch of stuff that is happening. But also, it's a pretty on fire situation happening right now with the exploits, the bugs, and all the craziness. But that's what the new season excitement's about. It's new things coupled in with all of our fun learnings. And then, of course, a little drama to go ahead and keep you guys on the edge of your seats. So strap in, stay tuned with us, and get ready for a very fun episode. Before we get into the thick of it, we want to thank you guys for downloading. Whether you are listening at on your way, in the car, on your phone, Dash Radio, Apple Music, Spotify, I mean, anywhere, everywhere, you name it, we appreciate you. And one more thing, the Destiny Jesus video feature is up on YouTube. Not the greatest quality product, but it's an awesome product nonetheless, as there is video content behind the episode. So feature guests will continue to have video components attached to it. I hope you guys enjoyed that. If there's any feedback, let me know, and I'll see y'all in the comment section. So with that, let's go ahead and jump into the headlines, jump into some of the news, and of course, introduce the boys here. What's up, Panda?
Good to be here. Hello, everybody. Hope you're doing well.
Panda's, oh man, he sounds like he's gearing up for a fun one today. SVG, what's up, bro?
Going on, man. It's been a nice, eventful start to the season. I've been enjoying it, so I'm excited to talk about it with the boys.
Yeah, heck yeah. I haven't really got to jump in and play. However, I've been watching. I stay dialed in. I'm locked in on Twitter, and I can see all that's happening right now with the content coverage, especially around the evaluation cups and whatnot. And that's really where I want to start. So, SBG, how about you take me through some of these new scenes? Let's get the community caught up. We have the myths. Is it myths and mythicals and mythics? And what's the name of this season?
No, you got it.
I'm somewhere there.
Myths, mythic or myths and mortals, mythic and mortals, something like that. Some kind of
myths and mortals.
Yeah, there you go. Boom. And bunch of new stuff this season. We have four brand new POIs. We got, I'm gonna call it the green water. I don't know what it's actually called, but essentially you jump in it, you get an ability to dash. The new movement items is the wings. The wings of Icarus, we've seen already a ton of different things, uses for them. Martaz was hitting some cool clips on day one. That got nerfed, though, so you're not doing that anymore. Reese just put out a whole video about the wings. So there's a bunch of different ways to use those. We got new mythics, including the lightning, which is the most broken thing they've put in the game in a really long time. And instead of caches, we now have bunkers, so no more combat caches. There's now bunkers that have set spawns on the map that you can fight for. Then the other things is the medallions have changed. So last season, you got shield from the medallions. This season, each one has a different power. So one gives you siphon, one gives you that green water dashing ability. The other one allows you to sprint and jump higher. And the last one gives you like a slight buff in damage. So there's four new medallions at the new POIs across the map.
That's actually pretty interesting. I didn't realize the unique mechanics now behind the medallions. What about forecast towers? Are those still on the map?
They're still in.
That's very interesting as well. So that's going to for sure play its way into competitive. Things that were taken out, though, you mentioned how caches are being removed. I saw a post out there kind of assessing what this means for the competitive community. Ultimately, it sounds like that's going to be most impacted when it comes down to metal, right? Because the thing about the cache is it does yield out some of that very valuable material. So we'll see how that starts to compound and play into effect here. Another W that I want to give to Epic Games, besides, of course, a fun, successful kickoff to the season. Successful, you know, air quotes. There was a huge delay. Sorry if you guys had to wait the, 10 hours worth of pushback time. But there were some critical errors, I think, that caused this massive slow start to the season. But one thing they did add is they corrected Surge inside of the pub games. Basically, what that means is they took the Surge thresholds from competitive and actually now officially applied them to pub games. And this is a win for the scrim community, because up until now, we've almost gone through, dude, it feels like a year worth of customs and scrims where The scrim experience was definitely not tied to customs ever since they made it so you couldn't host customs on top of arena lobbies and you were forced into only the public general game modes. Just meant that you couldn't really enforce those rules that came with those different lobbies. They merged them all together. So good to see that we're starting to see some correlation between some of the important mechanics being brought to the general game mode. It still baffles me why Epic hasn't made it so you can just customize customs. But hey, I got a call coming up soon with some of the heads over at Epic. So I'm going to be pushing for some features. We'll see if they bite my bait. Hopefully it works out well. But let's start jumping into some of these exploits. I mean, Panda, I'm sure you've seen the devastating power behind the lightning bolt. The reason these clips are everywhere right now, it's not just because they're in pubs, but it's because, like we mentioned, there's no separation between customs, right? So, like, there's some scrim games being captured out there. There's some fun content being thrown out at a high level. And we're just seeing how crazy the utility is right now.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. Obviously, one of the biggest ones that we've seen so far is the combination of a couple things. I won't go into too much detail, but it allows you to float in the air and throw lightning bolts down without being seen. So you're out of like render distance from the players below, and you could just hail down these lightning bolts in the final zones, basically making you unstoppable, right? In a lot of ways. But another big one is you're able to throw lightning bolts through walls. That is a...
They just fixed that, I believe.
Okay, so at least that got fixed because I haven't played today. But that for the last couple days, that was one thing that I was paying close attention to, because being able to protect yourself when using such a strong item makes it makes the possibilities limitless, right? It's different when you're like out in the open. You have to go up in the air and throw this lightning bolt down. You're a target, right? So if somebody was like, okay, I'll take the brunt of 40 damage to then snipe you out of the air, cool. But, okay, good. I'm glad that got patched, because that was kind of crazy.
It makes me wonder, like, how small or big is the QA testing team at Epic Games? We see these seasons, and then we see these, like, what almost feels like replicable, like, bugs. You know what I mean? Like, we knew before when people took, I don't know, take any other mythic. Take the Shockwave Hammer. There you go. There were ways players found super early on. You lean against the wall, you do a certain thing, you can attack through the wall. It's kind of like the same mechanic. Like, why wouldn't they take the learning, say, oh, hey, can we, by the way, test that thing where you angle your player like this and throw a lightning bolt through the wall? Like, where is the QA testing? Like, I feel like this stuff should be so capturable, but it's almost like the same buzz. So I'm not surprised when someone goes and figures out how to dash infinitely or whatever. It's like the same... You know what I mean? Like, the bugs can be replicated basically with different items.
Yeah. Speaking of, there's literally a bug that has been replicated many times. So the new Gatekeeper shotgun, you can shoot people through walls with, pretty much the same that you could do. I think it was the MK when it first got introduced. All you had to do was like right hand peek and then ADS, and you could right hand peek the wall and not actually expose yourself and shoot pretty much through the wall, even though it looks like you're like peeking it. The Gatekeeper shotgun is the same way. It works very well, and yeah, that's exactly to your point, like, who is testing these or not? Because I think my benefit of the doubt here to them is it's probably because they don't have players that are trying to break the game constantly. When they're QA testing, they're thinking of how players are going to play the game, how like the general pub population plays, and then you get in the hands of like a competitive player. Like, 72 hours is a perfect example. When he plays any video game, it's like, how do I push this game to its limits, and how do I break whatever the intended mechanics of this are? And they need someone like that on their team to then just like practice, okay, what's the worst possible thing I could do with this, and give it a shot.
There is something interesting there. Maybe their testers are like, does this feel good? Like, are you getting the dopamine when you hear the shotgun sounds, right? They're thinking about, like, we need to make the game that, yeah, people are going to love, right? And we're thinking of it from, like, yo, why aren't you testing all this stuff that people are going to hate? Like, where's the bugs? Because they do seem replicable. I don't even know if that's a word at this point. I've said it enough times that it sounds weird.
It sounds about right. But honestly, in defense of like Q&A testers, let's say they have 100 of them, right? So it fills one lobby. Because realistically, you have to remember, with a BR, it takes a lot more to test than just any other game. So you have one lobby. It's 100 players. They play the game 100 times before a new season launches, right? That's still not a lot to work off of in comparison to the millions that are playing before these things get discovered, right? So there's always going to be things that it's easy for us to be like, yeah, they should have figured that out ahead of time. But then there's some stuff that's like, okay, maybe it would take us a million
here's,
people.
Here's my one rebuttal.
Bolt.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Ready.
However much it costs to get 100 people, you can take whatever fraction of that budget and pay Martos a much smaller amount and just make him sign an NDA. Hey, here, do this thing for 6 hours. I guarantee you he is going to bust out 4 or 5 things from that. It probably much more accurately, much more efficiently. It just seems like there's a problem, is what I'm saying. It could be done better.
And I think that's fair. I think, I mean, especially when you think about what it would take to have 100 QA mm-hmm. people pay. Imagine you pay them a minimum of $50,000 a year. Let's just say hypothetical, right? That's, I don't even want to know, $3 million a year?
It's a lot. That's all I know.
In QA? Like, so, and that's probably realistic to what they actually do. I think it would be beneficial, though, every new season you have a team of like 5 pros or 5 people well-known in the community like Martaz who are really good at figuring this stuff out.
It's the same people.
As soon as a new item is presented to them. Again, it would cost them more money to do this, right? Because they'd have to fly people out. Because you know they're not going to put builds of the game out in the public, right? You're going to have to come to North Carolina. They're going to lock you in a room. Your cell phone's going to be taken. Your brain's going to be taken. I don't know what else. they're going to take your glasses.
Like, hey,
whatever electronics.
This Elon Musk neck chip. Go try the new season.
But they'll do something, right? Basically to keep you so disconnected from it. And then they'll say, go play. Because they can't. And realistically, that makes sense. They can't just like send a build to you at home. Because all it takes is you recording yourself in this build and tweeting it out, and the whole season's gone.
So, I did accidentally have that privilege one time. Shout out to Supercell. They let me this is when they would give creators builds. Like, literally, you would download it on your iPhone. Mm-hmm. And at the time, they would let you create content on the build, but you couldn't release it until it went public. And yeah. You guys know how close start streaming and start recording is on OBS. And I pressed live on the new build in the middle of a game. And I thought I was going to jail after that. Shout out to my community, though. They were one of the best. I didn't end up on Reddit or anything. And I had like 200 something people in the chat. This is when like I had a big community. And chat was like, what? Yo, you're playing with the bowler? ? Like, anyone that knows Clash Royale is going to know the bowlers. This is when the bowlers drop, bro. That's like iconic tune, dude, in the game. Anyways, I straight up leaked that. They never found out, thank God. I don't want to know what kind of trouble I would have been in. But yeah, I agree. I don't think players should get builds either. Custom builds, private builds is what we're talking about, guys, to really experiment these seasons early from home. I do, however, think that there are ways that we can avoid this type of backlash, because it's not necessarily great for the game, having, of course, the players complaining on the timeline. I do feel like we have a little bit less of that, but it could just be perception because I'm not on socials as much and my algorithm is just full of like fights and politics. I don't know. There's a lot. Twitter changed the whole algorithm. At this point, I don't even know what I'm watching at the time. So maybe there's just as much complaining. I just don't see it as much.
I think the complaints are still there, but I think people also are a little more tamed in the first week than they have been in seasons past, because to be fair, Epic has responded quicker in recent seasons. So I think that gives pros hope that like, yeah, okay, this is annoying right now, but they're not blowing up the timeline about it because they have a good feeling that it'll get taken care of soon enough. And a lot of things have so far that have been issues.
Well, and minus like the actual bugs and exploits, it's not that bad of a season. Mm-hmm. Like the one big problem that people have been complaining about is the lightning, and that's not in competitive. So it's like, who really cares to complain about something that's not going to bother you? The wings are pretty balanced if they work how intended, right? If they're able to get that to where they are. And I mean, I think that brings us to the point to talk about the Fortnite competitive tweet. Yesterday, they sent out this like cryptic tweet of reminder, intentionally exploiting any game function, e.g. an in-game bug or glitch in a manner not intended by Epic to gain a competitive advantage is prohibited and may result in disciplinary action. Please follow the rules at all times during any tournament. And this was going on during the EU Eval Cup. So I have things to say, but I'll let you guys go first.
You know, Fortnite, I like, this is nothing new. Anytime something of any kind of significance catches traction on socials, they put out these very, they're not low effort, but they're very low detailed comments letting you know that this is a warning for your behaviors without saying exactly what those behaviors are. Right. And to some degree, I wish they would get more detailed. I think the more communication, the better for everybody, right? But I also get from a legal standpoint where they're like, let me keep this super broad so that people, we're not just worrying about exploits, this exploit A and B. We're also covering C, D, and E that pop up next week, right?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes sense. I'm not a fan of them dropping these types of tweets in the middle of a like Eval Cup at all. I think these are issues, problems, posts that should be posted much sooner. They should be clear. I don't think we need to be reminded all the time. This should be like, it should make sense. But I think the lack of punishment that comes from, you know, lack of enforcement, if you will, from Epic Games side, it makes it like kind of weird. Like we're playing this cat and mouse game. Now it's like, oh yeah, yo, they just reminded us we shouldn't do this. So let's not do it because if we do it this week, right, the next 3 days, we're going to get in trouble. However, there's not a precedent of like, hey, you shouldn't do that ever because like anti-cheat is going to just straight kick you out the game. You're floating, bro. Right? Like why yeah. Is that not happening is my point. Like live, you're floating. Something should trigger the game security to say this is not right. This guy has been in the air for 2 minutes killing players. Get him out the lobby. I don't care what it is. And he's floating, not using builds. It just doesn't make sense. But I don't code games, so I'm sorry if all the developers are out there like, Monster, you shut up, because you don't know what it takes to find this thing. But I just find it comical because it seems so easy. Just that. Just do that. If he's floating for 2 minutes and getting kills while he's in the air and he hasn't touched down, ban him, period. I don't even want to hear how you did it. You cheated, in my opinion. Like, thoughts, rebuttals, concerns? Is that, like, not, like, should that just not be a thing?
I don't know. I mean, my biggest problem with the whole statement is the game is so complex. What actually is a glitch or a bug, right? Like, you're just putting out this tweet saying using glitches or bugs for exploits are against the rules, and there's nowhere to find like here are the active exploits or bugs that are bannable in game. They're just like, don't do these things. That it's like taxes in the US. Actually, it is like literally like taxes. You owe us money. How much do I owe you? Figure it out. Okay. I got it wrong. You're going to jail. Like that is exactly what this process is. What are the exploits? You figure it out. Okay.
I need you to put that in tweet form and just send that piece out. Oh, it's so good. All right, let me stop goofing around. We got more to talk about. A lot going on here as we start to edge into the new season, and of course the year starts to develop. Guys, we are 3.5 months into the new year. Things are developing. They're developing quickly. Before we know it, we're going to be rolling up to summertime, and that is where Gamers 8 has finally announced that they will have Fortnite returning as a game title this year, which ultimately is a W, I think, from what we've seen on the community side. pros are tweeting. We're getting right back into the swing of things as folks are trying to get on the good side of good old Gamers 8 for the Esports World Cup. However, SVG, we have a little bit of a twist here. It's not going to be Battle Royale, right? So we went from builds to no builds. We've downgraded even further. We've gotten all the way down to a creative map, it seems like. But we didn't see what the map's going to be or what the mode's going to be.
Before I let SVG take on this, I have a really good running theory of this that I don't think they have a choice. I think they go for the licensing, and Fortnite is the one that's saying, hey, we're pushing this right now. Can you please just do this, and we'll give you licensing?
I don't even think it's we're pushing this. I think it's, hey, you have Esports World Cup in the name. World Cup finished years ago, bruh. You're not doing Battle Royale, period.
But here's the thing. Last year, it was only zero build, right? Despite the community and even the admins saying they wanted standard BR. So that's where I believe it has nothing to do with necessarily the name. Yes, Gamers 8 has been rebranded to Esports World Cup. We've talked about that. But I think it's more of an Epic play than it is ESL, EFG, and the Saudi group making that choice. I think it's something that they just kind of have to do. But SVG, you.
So how many millions do you think Epic will let them give away for this 1v1 Zone Wars map or whatever it's going to be? Like, I think it'll have to be less than the 4 million, right? We know that Epic doesn't want to be upstaged by a third-party event, and maybe they're paying Epic $1 billion to let them host a $4 million tournament or more. I don't know, but I find it, I don't know, like, the first year when this was a build event, it kind of meant something, even though it was like a couple of like random teams. This year, it just seems like this is Fortnite players getting their bag because they're big creators and who cares? And, you know, it they're shilling out for Saudi Arabia.
It reminds me a little bit, and it's funny that this is like DreamHack ESL, same company, but it feels like how DreamHack lost its luster because DreamHack didn't innovate. Now we're watching Gamers 8 rebrand, and, you know, all right, sure, they're the Esports World Cup, but instead of innovating, it's almost like the product is deteriorating, like the actual game mode. And that's not to say, like, a creative event can't be so dope, because I have hope that if they do it right, and we, like, I'm down for a multi-million-dollar zone war, but, like, I don't know, dude. There needs to be more to it. You know what I'm saying? I think there just has to be more to it. But, like, I'm down for a bracket where you get some of the best out. But, like, what's that qualification like? Is it just like, yo, he's Clicks, bro. Like, he's got to be there, right? Or is it like, this guy earned it? Clicks is top three, though, or top five, whatever, FNCS. So he deserves to be there. So maybe that was a bad example. But you get what I'm saying. Like, popularity gets you through the door. I'm not crazy about that.
I have a feeling it's going to be invite only, if I'm being real.
For this?
Yeah, I have a... Because, so, from what I've seen, from, like, pro verbiage that has come out from players that competed in last year's event, a lot of them have been connected, like, directly connected with them for months now in these conversations, right? Like, literally, these people have sent... They sent Cease, Blake, and Epic Whale to the Super Bowl. Like, they just did that for whatever reason, right? Like, so the continued promotion of what's going on with Esports World Cup and obviously getting people on board with what
they
got
sent
going
them
on.
To the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah. So I need somebody's number, bro. What's going on?
But I think there is a world where it is that, because if it was a qualification track, I think we would have gotten that announcement with the announcement of the map, right? And here's the problem. I don't see... DreamHacks are... What? It's just Dallas this year, right? Yeah, I don't... Look at there's the not schedule. A San Diego. I don't think they did like a San Diego or like precursored US1 to Dallas this time around. SVG can confirm here in a second. So I think it would just be Dallas, and I think that would be way too close to qualify 100 people, right? In maybe DreamHack Summer, so like maybe two, right? Let's just say Happy Pickle.
Yeah,
you would then qualify 50 people from each, or like 30 people from each. Let's say they do a like the event is a 60-person custom BR map, right? Or something like that. There are things that they can do that isn't just Zone Wars or Locked In. So I'm hoping there is more creativity to it. We'll see. I don't think there's enough time to do the qualification track like they did last year.
Yeah, there's no way. Go ahead, SBG. You got the numbers up.
Looking at the dates, there's Melbourne, which is a month from now, which, I mean, we know there's not their core audience or creators that they want. Then Dallas, which is beforehand. Summer is June 14th to 17th, so I don't think that would even give anyone enough time to turn around and go to this, because Esports World Cup, I believe, is in July. So that's like 2 weeks before they go. And like Panda said, I mean, we had Mr. Savage, Booga, Klix, Epic Whale all tweet out about the event. So Scoped. They probably... Who?
Scoped as well.
Scoped as well. So they probably all just like tweeted out about this already, and they're going to get their... Like that's who they want. They want the biggest creators. They're going to make this pretty much a showcase match. And I mean, it's smart by what Saudi Arabia is doing, because we see what they're trying to do with sports and everything else. And they've now essentially garnered this young audience to promote this event for their country that is violating human rights on a regular basis. And now they have their massive audiences of Abuga, Klix, so on and so forth, to be able to promote this, which is wild to me that nobody's telling some of these guys, like, yo, don't do this. Like, you make enough money as is. No amount of money is going to make this acceptable to promote this to a young, susceptible audience and help this country do exactly what everyone knows they're doing, because it's not a secret. Like, everyone is either accepting the bag, which I did. I was hypocritical at first. I accepted the bag the first year, went, and I'm fine with that. But now I'm seeing this, and the problem to me is the bigger this gets, the more people that go, someone is going to get hurt or jailed. And that is not something that I'm fine just letting sit by and allowing these creators and big players to promote. Because, okay, maybe it doesn't happen the first few years, but this is probably going to continue. I don't see them stopping this. And unless they change their laws, unless they change who's running the government and the country, that's going to forever be a thing. Like, you're not allowed to speak out against the Saudi government, which now disqualifies me for being able to work those events. But
we've seen it. We've seen creators go there in the in-person IRL live streams and how they're all like, they're on edge, right? And they're memeing and they're making jokes about it. But it just goes to show that there is a cultural difference there. There really is. It's undeniable. You know, again, and we're talking real life now. And SBG strikes a great point that creators, you know, really don't sometimes understand the grasp of how much they have an influence over their thousands, tens of thousands, or hundred thousands, and in some unique cases, millions of fans. And that is definitely something that needs to be taken into account. When I had an opportunity to potentially go work, I turned it down and go on a vacation. But I will be honest. I said, if you want me there, you got to pay me for what could be reputational damages. And my rates were through the roof. I'm talking TV charge rates. Like, I was like, bruh, I'm retiring, you know, if you need me there, right? And that's just really how I felt about it. It's how I feel about it. So I'm there. I kind of see all the sides of this. I think this is a pretty interesting angle to continue to play. I don't see this being an open tournament by any means. Gamers 8 will likely be invite only. They're going to promote some creative map. Will they return some ROI on it? Probably not. Map probably do well. I'd be surprised to see it in the Epic's picks if they even worked out a licensing that far where they get favored in game. To me, that'd be telling. However, I don't think there's going to be any kind of favoritism there, like we see with other blue chip brands. I want to put myself into Epic's shoes. Like, does Epic look at this like, man, these guys are like, you know, the mosquito flying around your room. You're just like, we can't get rid of them, right? Like, whatever, too much money. Let them buzz around a little longer. Or, you know what I mean? Are they complacent with this? I think we'll know if when the creative map comes out, if it's in the creative picks, I'm going to say they're complacent. They're happy with the partnership. If it's not in the Epic picks, I'm going to say someone probably like, whatever, dude, it's a rich bug flying around the room and they're just keeping around to, you know, milk the cow dry, if you will. But this is a fat cow. So there you go.
Well, that's pretty much like what Epic's policy is when it comes to hosting third party events is like you do your thing. You know, we'll tell you what you can and can't do. But if you follow those rules, that's fine. And I think this is them like, all right, well, we can't really say no to this because of the gigantic money that they're being thrown. But at the same time, I don't think that they can be supportive unless Tim Sweeney's a total fraud and like randomly fights for only certain things he believes in. And even he has a price because everyone does, right? Everyone has a price at where they're willing to compromise morals.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, I think Epic Games is owned by some significant portion to Tencent, right, as a private investor and this other company. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking mega influence, right? Like, well beyond the scope of what we probably understand. So, yeah, the implications of Epic, let's just say if they really wanted to turn their backs to this portion of the world or not include them or whatever, not negotiate something, it'd probably have problems, like bigger problems than Epic v Apple, like more of those types of problems that they probably don't want to have. These are, of course, all speculations. We'll just see, man. Actions speak louder than words, and right now what we're seeing is the action of the creators going to socials, already shilling out this Gamers 8 tournament that's going to happen, and we'll see what the actual competitive product or the tournament product's going to be. I hope that it's good, though. I do, because at the end of the day, I like good events, so big money. Good event. I'm down. I'm sure it's going to be a spectacle nonetheless. Let's jump into some other tournaments, titles, things that are happening. This is sort of a headline for us. I don't know if I want to call this popular creator, but notable creator, Kiwi Gal, someone who's had a presence in the community. She decided to become a tournament organizer, I would say sometime in mid to late 2023, but this wasn't just a flyby organizer. This is someone who was putting on pretty substantial cash tournaments, both of which Panda and SBG have been a part of, has basically had this whole entire case of their presence escalated to a fraudulent matter where some were claiming that Kiwi Gal in her organization, if you will, her constituents, I don't know what to call them, these friends of hers owe hundreds of thousands of dollars essentially to some of the biggest creators in the space, and folks are not happy about it. SBG, let's start with you, man. What's your opinion on the situation? Is this a real situation of fraud? I thought this was a Ponzi scheme, maybe. Like, this person's paying money from one event to the next event. Like, I don't know where it's coming from. And all the graphics are just, like, TOS. So I don't really ever interact with it, right? Because if I touch something tournament-related, Epic's going to see it. I don't want them to get cease and desisted, right? So I normally keep my hands out of anything that I can't, uplift, basically, right?
Yeah, so I casted one of the more recent tournaments. I'm currently still owed for that one. It hasn't been that long, so I'm not, like, freaking out about it. But also, you know, there's a little bit of concern. You see, it was Teeny and Vasque were the two players that came out and said they haven't been paid. It's been months. They've been told they're getting paid. And I think, to me, like, even before I agreed to cast the tournament, I asked around. I asked three or four people, like, hey, have you gotten paid for these events? What has happened? Like, what's the deal? Because to me, it makes no sense. Like, why are you throwing this much money around for seemingly no reason? Like, just what is she getting in return? I don't get it. But, you know, enough people said, okay, yeah, it's fine, not an issue, that I'm like, cool, okay, I'll do it. So, I mean, fingers crossed, I hope I get paid. I hope everyone does. And so far, I know she's paid other people from the tournaments and casters. So I'm not, like, too concerned. It could just be a player freaking out that, like, things are going more slowly than they should.
And to be fair, I'm on the flip side of what SPG is talking about. I did work the event, and I did get paid for being a part of an event. I was in one of the earlier ones late last year. Not necessarily the Frosty Flight series, which is what she's been referring to as been the biggest problem with her payouts. And the system that she uses for payouts is apparently having issues, is what is being claimed, of course. And my biggest issue with everything is not he said, she said, and I think this is what the pros are kind of leaning on as well, Vasquez and Tini, who have been more vocal, is that their communication they've received is different than what's actually happening. So Tini was receiving communication that, oh, it's going to happen next week. It's going to happen next week. And then no communication for a bit. And then it's going to happen next week. It's going to happen next week. And there's been talk of like her going through things. And obviously if she is suffering in any way, I hope she gets the health help that she needs and for whatever surgeries or things that are going on in her life. Right. But when you say you're going to do something, that word can easily be twisted, right? Like, and if you don't live by your word, then you're easily going to become enemy number one, and to some degree, rightfully so. So she may have great intentions. Like, for all we know, I'm going to be real with you. Like, this is the only thing that came through my head that made sense, is that she comes from a wealthy family. Because she, before we even got to the Frosty Flight stuff, she had given out over $100,000. Like, and it was confirmed paid. And she's not taking sponsors for these events, right? They're just like clearly, I don't want to say out of pocket, because obviously we don't know where the money is or where the money's coming from. But it was very much like the only possibility that made sense to me is that she got connected to the Fortnite scene through Vortexers, who I believe they're in a relationship together, Kiwi Gal and Vortexers. I can't, it's hard to confirm. This is all speculation. And then she was introduced to the Fortnite scene, and then she had some level of wealth, whether it be family money, personal wealth, whatever the case may be. And maybe it's just enough that $400,000 means nothing, right?
Here's what I thought. Mm-hmm. You see other creators like Peach Cobbler, for example, March 6th, less than 10 days ago, hosted a $15,000 creator run on her own map. We know Peach Cobbler did not put that money up out of pocket. We can just about guarantee this is an Epic sponsored or backed event in some way or another. Mm-hmm. And with that in mind, I personally thought Kiwi Gal just had the EU plug and was getting cash fed for whatever value reason Epic may have seen from her as an organizer. And that's where I thought the money was coming from. But like, I was also curious. Like I said, there was, you know, TOS in the graphics. Like there's very particular rules. Epic doesn't usually let you bend those rules or break those rules when they are sanctioning an event. Even if at the bottom you put the hashtag like, this event is not sponsored, sanctioned, yada, yada, right? They make you put that even if they gave you the money. There's like just some certain rules in there, some legalities involved with the broadcast side of it. But like Peach Cobbler follows the rules when she does it. And I can see her trying her best to work within the guidelines. But then I looked at Kiwi Gal's graphics and I'm like, yeah, these are all like definitely not the guidelines. They're very far from it. Normally you get like in big trouble. You post the, you know, $20,000 tournament and you're like calling it the World Cup or something. Like what Bucky's doing is a great example. I laugh at his graphics all the time because he's putting money out of pocket, but clearly doesn't really know the broadcast guidelines and rules. So I know like, yeah, Epic's not giving him that money. Like that's coming out of his pocket. This is way too much money to be doing that. And it's very clear now that something went wrong, like you mentioned. And you're right, reputation is everything. So if the money was supposed to come from somewhere and it stopped, I think it's still that person's responsibility to fulfill those payments and then take up the legalities with whatever other entity. And I speak for that from my own experiences. You guys remember that $100,000 Mio tournament? I got stuck with the bill on that. I had to pay that out of pocket and then go fight for my money legally, right? And we won't get into the weeds of it. That has now been settled. Pat on my back. I'm happy the way it went in my favor. But the whole point is reputation is everything. And if you have any or want any real legs in the space, you got to be able to stand up, do the right thing, pay people for their service. Most importantly, casters and stuff first. You guys are doing like the labor, literally pay those guys first, point blank period. You know what I mean? Prizing. Sure. Maybe you could argue like, oh yeah, dude, 20K. It's not going to just poof out of nowhere, whatever. Right? Like sure, maybe I don't value players as much as I do my talent homies, but I do value like the service work. To me, that's like, dude, that's not right at all. Like, that's like real service. So anyways, that's my take on it. I think there's a Ponzi scheme going on here, personally, or something. Yeah. I don't know.
So, I mean, the last time we saw like this crazy money be thrown around was Team 33.
And shout out Glitch.
Glitch up, bro.
Glitch up, man.
Currently being sued by the U.S. government, by the way.
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, she seems like a nice person. I've had good interactions with her. She still responded to my messages saying it's just going to be a little bit longer. Hopefully it doesn't take too long. But I don't. Yeah,
it could just be bad timing. Like you said, she tweeted out she's having like a heart surgery. Like, I don't know what goes into this, but that sounds expensive to me, man. So yeah, you know what? If she is having health complications, all the prayers and best of luck to her. If that is part of the compounding issue of not being able to issue payments because you are quite literally liquidating your funds to like save your life, like that's fine, but like say that. I don't know what's happening here. It's way too much money. It's too much money for an individual to put out and not have clear motives or intentions being worn on your sleeves, like straight up. Like you are putting that much money out. Everyone should know what you're trying to do. And if that's not very clear, then you need to reassess your business situation, I guess.
Boys, I want, if this does happen where I wind up not getting paid, this will be the first time I've been scammed in esports.
Oh, no.
And I know people say it happens all the time, but I've been doing this now for like 4 years, and this will be the first time. So let's throw a little party if it does happen. Maybe in a month we'll come back to it.
Dude, if SBG gets scammed, guys, we are going to celebrate so hard on this podcast because that's like earning your rite of passage in this. Panda, have you ever been scammed in esports?
No. I'm like, yes, I've heard it happen, but like there was clear red flags before people did certain events that like it's like, okay, you kind of did that to yourself, right? Shout out, what was it? What was the Rocket League drama last year? What was it? Women's Carball?
Galaxy Racer.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, it wasn't Galaxy.
You're talking about the organization that was like, yeah, that's a great idea. Fired her, ran the thing themselves.
No, that was crazy.
Rocket League
just had some crazy stuff. No, regardless though, but no, I'm very fortunate. I haven't had to deal with that. Knock on wood. I don't ever have to deal with that. Especially nowadays when like events are so few and far between for casters and talent. It makes it hard to survive in this ecosystem, but the last thing we need to deal with is getting scammed. But fortunately I haven't had to deal with that.
And less organizers. Like it sucks that if Kiwi Gal is really having issues or she's been scammed by a potential private sponsor or whatever, this is one of the few entities that are actually trying to run events, regardless of they're up to TOS or not. Like it's still cash money to the players, cultivating the scene, developing a community, giving opportunities to casters, right? We need more stand-up entities. So yeah, we're not here to, you know, rival against you unless you are literally just fraudulent. Like that we just can't have that. Like that's illegal. Whatever.
Yeah.
We need more organizers. We genuinely do. Who do we have left right now? You have Practice Server. Like War Legends doesn't do anything forward facing, I feel like.
Well, War Legends, I wouldn't even consider them.
We have Noble Scrims. We have Vital Scrims.
But
tiny communities when it comes down to the contributions they bring and prizing back to the spaces.
Those aren't even like the events, right? Because we the last few years we had like the FaZe Cup that was Mike. What was the candy? Haichu.
First of all, Mike and Ike.
Yeah, but those are like server.
No. Mike and Ike with Dignitas.
I built that.
I thought it was Mike and Ike. But see,
yeah,
like
I still have
they're,
them.
What Haichus or Mike and Ike?
Mike and Ike's.
I have Haichus from a Haichu event. I did.
I did Haichu as well.
But. Like there was a world where we were having events roughly twice a month, outside of the normal like PlayStation Cups and FNCS and things like that, that were like big brand sponsors were coming in and hiring Practice Server and Boom TV and some of these other guys to host these events. And that just doesn't happen anymore, it feels like. And it feels like a lot of the events we get now, which, don't get me wrong, I'm still grateful on the pro side of things that they get events like this, but are these like Manu Vital scrims because the map that they are promoting did well, so he can reinvest that money back into the scrims? And same thing with Noble. Like, obviously, Boop has been doing well despite him and I's differences in the past. Like, he's doing a lot of good things.
Those are self-funded, though. Those are just literally self-funded from the organization. It's not brands trying to interact in the space in this way. I think creative probably ruined brands and the way they interact with the space. Unfortunately, it is just too... creative is like the forbidden fruit, you know? It's like, drop 100K, build a stupid map idea, but you see your logo, so you think you won. But it really does nothing for no one, and there's no event behind it, and no one wins other than the guy that created that stupid map. Shout out to them because they're so damn talented, but it functions to provide nothing to the community. So maybe that's...
I think it also, it could be the lack of like actual tools to run tournaments properly, because like it is so difficult to run a tournament. And
it's not accessible.
I love you. You guys are the best, but even you can't guarantee that a tournament will go 100% smoothly, because the game is inherently the problem itself, not the organizer.
I'm sure there's a saying here, like, we're like the best with the worst in this worst case situation, or like whatever, right? You get what I'm saying? Like, with all odds against us, we do the best with the shit we're handed. I guess that's the idea.
if it's not the game breaking, it's like the bots in the back end breaking that are tracking things,
right?
Or leaderboards not tracking correctly. Like, and you could prep as much as you want, but that stuff can still go wrong.
Flying like, guys, like, you know, a billion different things can happen.
And when Intel's throwing $100,000 at something, right? They want that stuff to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I mean, rightfully so. Like, $100,000 is a lot of marketing funds when they only get imaginably 5 to 10 million.
Well, we want to see more organized events are in. We don't really know the situation right now at hand for this particular right now. This is a very much developing story. Maybe next week we'll follow back up. We'll see if any posts have been made. But just to kind of wrap up the episode here, we have one more quick update. Last week we talked about Epic versus Apple, and we might have pulled the trigger a little too soon as we broke that news. Immediately afterwards, there were some quick developments where we believe Apple may have realized they made a big mistake in removing Epic Games prematurely off of what seemed like a knee-jerk reaction to Tim Sweeney's post celebrating a win for the EU App Store. SBG, take me through a little bit more of the details. Like we said, we talked about it last week. You guys can go back and listen to that episode. However, things have changed since then.
Yeah, so essentially Europe was like, guys, give it back, otherwise we're going to have to come at you. And then Apple's like, oh, okay, you got us. We didn't actually mean to do that, even though we totally did. So then they got their account back, is the long and the short of it.
Yeah, and now we have Epic Games as its own standalone individual app, likely to be downloadable and deployable inside the European market coming soon. Not sure if that's even public yet. One thing I did see, though, from I think another news reporter, basically they charted out all the steps it takes to download an app that's not an Apple app in EU, and there are 15 steps. I kid you not, 15 steps. Step number one being, as you would imagine, you visit the store. You click the button that says download my app. Then Apple takes you through the ringer. You got to go to settings. You got to approve the block up. You got to approve the warning message. You have to then go back to your settings. Allow this. Tweak that. Go back to the app. Black screen. Go back to the app. Approve again. Like, dude, it's crazy. And then on top of that, this all has to be, by the way, some super malicious practice at play here. After all that, when the app is downloading, it doesn't even have an icon. It makes it look like more malware. You get no warnings that it's been completed. It hides it somewhere on the back pages. Like, it's messed up. Because if you download an app, I'm pretty sure it takes it like to the most recent spot, like the most available spot on any of your carousels. But for whatever reason, these external apps, they were putting it like on the back page, like the last page. Like, dude, there's just some weird stuff the way they coded it. That's all I'm saying. It's crazy.
I'm an Apple fanboy too. Like, and this is just crazy.
It's messed up.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, they've gone from like an innovative company to now like a money profit driven company.
Oh, for sure. Dude, remember, like, I remember when I was younger, right? When Steve Jobs was still around. And there were generational leaps in technology. Like, the iPhone was iconic. The iPod was iconic. The iPad was iconic, right? Now, like, don't get me wrong. The Apple Vision Pro is pretty cool. But this iteration of it, it might take more iterations before I can really say it's iconic, right? But, like, other than the Apple Vision Pro, what has come out? Like, the Apple Watch... Everybody came out with smartwatches.
AI, bro, ChatGPT, come on, man.
No, yeah, but Apple didn't come out. I'm talking about specifically what Apple did. Like, Apple used to be a company that created the future, and now they're a company that, like, wants to take as much money from every person as they can. Like, 30% in an app store is stupid. They want to make sure if you are spending money without giving it to them, you have to go through hell to even be able to do that. Like, come on, guys.
Oh, yeah. And then on top of that, they made downloads chargeable. So not only do you have to go through the crazy loops, but if you do find success, get a million downloads, 10 million, I think there's like a cents charge per one that it becomes like exuberant. Like, you might as well have just been in the app store, apparently, yeah, when you do the math. There's another part to that. I wish I clipped who exactly I was reading that from. It could just be between Tim Sweeney's like posts or responses, but it also could have just been Elon Musk. Like, I think he also talked about some of that crazy stuff. You know, he's always in a mix as well. Either way, that's a big development for Apple and Epic. Shout out to Epic. Epic takes a W here. We'll see how it ends up developing. You guys can hear it here. We are Team Epic all the way. Screw Apple and their you know, bad practices. It's terrible. I thought, you know, we were cool as practice or server calling ourselves the gatekeepers. No, Apple is the true gatekeepers of this world, it seems like, of the tech world. That's the facts. Guys, any final words before we start signing on out of here? Panda.
Nothing for me other than it's funny that Tim Sweeney got baited into talking about cheats on Twitter. Haha.
Gotta be careful what you respond to. SVG, let the people at home know where they can find you, man.
It's Somebody's Gone on everything. Content's booming right now, and I'm gonna keep rolling.
Heck yeah, Panda.
Oh yeah, Life W Panda on Twitter. That's the best place. Go there, please.
Absolutely. Thank you. Guys, as always, you can send all your complaints to me at monsterdface@gmail.com or at monsterdface across all social handles. We appreciate you guys tuning in with us. One more reminder that video episodes for our featured guests are going to continue to be rolled out onto YouTube. So we thank you guys for all the support there. And yeah, until next time, don't forget to dance out those kills and boast in those victory royales. Peace, y'all.